You know, I just need a minute and a half of your time. Stopped in at the local choking butte last night, and some ladies behind me sitting there belly aching about their men. Kind of got under my skin, so I whirled around and gave them a little advice. And one girl said, "I think he don't love me anymore. He just wants me for sex." That struck me wrong. You see, women train men that the only time that they get intimacy is during sex. You see, men are valued for what they can provide and not how they can love. And most men, they sit back and if they voice their opinion or voice their feelings, then they hurt your feelings. And then you have to comfort the woman because you hurt their feelings with your feelings. You see where I'm going with this? Maybe some of you women should try to love a man the way he needs to be loved instead of the way you want to be loved. It's not right. I'm not understanding how we can get to this point in life. You know, the best rest that I ever got was when the old lady sat in my lap and covered my ears with her hands and blocked out the world. And you can't even find a woman sitting in a man's lap no more. It's not there. People don't understand that a man wants touch. He wants to feel something. And if that's the only place that you'll give it to him is in the bedroom, then that's what he's going to take advantage of. Maybe y'all have to realize that a minute.
Well, maybe a hell of a way to start the show. That was deep.
That was a lot deeper than I thought you were going to go.
I forgot how deep it was. That's not what she said.
Never heard that.
Welcome to the Midweek Tug, everybody. I think.
Yeah.
I'm Tommy.
I'm Bear.
We're the Unrefined Guys. This is the show that we do during the middle of the week.
Hence why it's called Midweek.
It's called the Midweek.
Yeah.
And we do it on Wednesday because Wednesday's
hump day.
The middle of the week, and it's hump day. And
guess what day it is?
Oh, you know, we should get that one. I don't know.
What are you doing?
I don't know. Oh, well, it's the midweek.
I'm going to come.
You know.
I knew you were going to do that.
Well, why not? It's the midweek tug. I'll probably do it four more times during the show.
Okay.
It's a good thing I have my own towel.
Yeah.
You brought up a suggestion a few weeks ago, and I've been working on it.
Yeah.
You were talking about the towels,
because mm-hmm.
there's a cum rag that you can buy, which is really weird. But I thought...
Microfiber?
Yeah, sort of. It's fitting.
For you.
But we had talked about at one point, you know, getting a midweek tug towel and doing something like that. And I made the comment that it just didn't feel right having our faces on a towel that somebody would use for that. But I think I've come up with a way we can alleviate that somewhat.
Okay.
Have your butts on it instead?
Yes. No, nobody is. Nobody better be doing that either.
Wow.
Though that was deep. Yeah. Derailed that platform.
Sorry.
So we take our logo without our faces on it.
Oh, just the logo.
Just the logo. And then almost make it a game. Got to hit the target.
It kind of does look like a bullseye.
Yeah, a bullseye right there.
Yeah. That's why like guys liked tramp stamps.
Well, yeah, it gives you something to aim for.
Yeah.
Landing zone, drop zone.
Yeah.
Names for firing range. Yeah, firing range. Wow. You know, those are kind of going out in nowadays, lower back tattoos. But in replacing them, they're now getting these under boob.
With the sayings and stuff?
Well, sayings or like ornate decorations.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just like, you know, that looks great, sweetheart, at 23.
Right.
After your third kid, though,
mm-hmm.
you might not see that design much anymore. Maybe just the centerpiece of it. It's just...
And I heard that's the worst place to get tatted.
I could
right
see
there
it
on the
would
sternum.
Be tender. I could definitely see it would be tender.
Can't imagine that being pleasant.
You know what?
Under your boobs? I mean, that's got to hurt.
We all make some odd decisions throughout our lives. And I'm not criticizing generally those that, you know, want to do that. But what I'm concerned about is that boob tattoo.
Right.
You know, today it's a butterfly. 24 years from now, it's a giraffe. Maybe think about your
selections.
Yeah. Maybe think about your selections a little bit. That's all. You know, look, again, we all make weird decisions, like face tattoos.
Yeah. I don't know why that's so such a trend now.
There was a point in time where I seriously thought about getting a tattoo behind my ear.
Ouch.
Okay.
Just because.
What would it do? What would it have been?
Well, that was the point. Nobody'd really see it most of the time unless you're standing too close to me in line. And if you whisper in my ear, nice tattoo, we got a problem.
That's a little too close.
What actually kind of spurred that thought process, and it wasn't a serious thought, but I had gone to donate blood, and this nurse was going to check. They check your iron. Mm-hmm. When you give blood, and she didn't take it from my finger, she instead took it from my earlobe, and she used one of those glass. I don't know
lancet,
what called, lancet, and just tapped my, and I didn't feel it at all. Apparently, there's almost no nerve endings on the outer side of your skin, and I thought, well, that'd be a great place for a tattoo, jokingly, obviously. But then I thought I saw somebody, a girl who had a tattoo on her inner ear.
Yeah.
And I was like, tell me
how
that worked out. She said it was tender.
Well, shit.
But it looked cool. Then I saw just yesterday a girl whose ears looked just fine until you shined a black light on them. Oh. And they were completely decked out in decorative colors,
right.
Only showed up under UV. And I said, that might be the ticket. That might be the next cool thing. But I wonder how they'd fade.
Yeah.
But cool, they show up under UV lights, so. Tattoos.
Wow. Knows? What would you put on your ear?
I don't know. Probably.
Handle?
Handlebars.
Handles?
Yeah.
Place hands here.
Sometimes they think like I don't know what I'm doing. Trust me, I do. At least I think I do.
I mean, I just never would have thought of tattooing my ear.
Yeah,
I've never even considered tattooing my face. I never would.
That one always seemed to get me really off balance. Like, where in life did you go, I'd put that on my face?
We have a friend that had gotten the tattoo underneath his eye. And I remember when we were younger, we were like, why in the fuck would you do that? And then, it became apparent later on.
Well, then he became what he tattooed himself of.
Yeah, so...
You know, there's some of those that I get, you know, especially in certain cultures, prison. tattoos have various meanings. That teardrop under the eye would be maybe you took life away from somebody. If that were the case, there'd be, like, if we had to get tattoos for various things in this culture we live in, there'd be a lot of liberal women with just, they'd look like they were bawling. They'd have so many teardrops on their eyes from the abortions that they've had.
Oh, man.
Too soon?
No, that was
okay.
Great.
All right. Yeah.
I didn't expect it to go there.
I didn't either. Then you see some of these prison guys that put the spider webs in the center of it's their elbow. Mm-hmm. All I ever did was cringed when I saw that elbow getting
hurt.
It's got to be painful.
Yeah.
My kids wanted tattoos. I made them wait.
Parent.
Well, I didn't say that.
I mean, our parents made us wait until we were 16. You were 16, yeah.
But then, I told my kids when they started, just think, this is going to be on you forever.
Right.
So make sure that it's meaningful. My daughter's was very meaningful for her. My son's was, more of a father-son tattoo. And my daughter and I got a matching tattoos, and then my son goes away to college, I got a random.
Now he's 18; he can do it himself.
Yeah, I got a random picture from my kid at like 1:30 in the morning, on a Saturday night, and he had a spaceship tattooed on his chest, just a little, Marvin the Martian type disc with the. Later on, he put some mountains underneath it and kind of made it a scene. But I thought, well, You're going to have to explain that to your kids at some point. You know.
Yeah, why a spaceship?
I'm pretty sure he was drunk.
No.
I'm pretty sure of it. You know, I was when my kid went to college, that was the first time I realized that natural light had decided their beer sucked so bad that they were going to put Kool-Aid and sugar in it.
Yeah.
And they created those, I don't know what they're called, like natural pink. I mean, I don't know what it is. He begged me to try it. I said, I've drank natural light once. I don't need to do it again.
Yeah, we've been there.
Tried that.
We did more than tried it. We made ourselves sick from it.
Right.
And so that was just it. And he kept, Dad, you got to try. I don't want to at all. Like if it were in a different can, but I knew it was that, I wouldn't do it.
Right.
And I never thought alcohol should taste like pink lemonade anyway.
Yeah, no.
You know, Bartles and James, wine coolers. Sure, I get
unless
that.
You're at a party trying to get a girl drunk and then, you know, I'll do it.
I, you know, the last time I tried to get a girl drunk, she just passed out on the couch and said, maybe next time. Honey.
Yeah.
It was my wife. But
yeah, like my sister always tells my brother-in-law, my lips are numb. You're not getting none.
Okay.
Which ones?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, but I did not ask my sister that question.
Good call. So. Good call. Good call. Well, then, welcome to the Midweek Tug. This is where we don't talk politics, but you never know what we will talk. And sometimes it's alcohol. Sometimes it's tattoos. Karen doesn't have any tattoos, do you?
I have no tattoos.
Are you thinking about it?
No.
Why?
No.
Everybody's doing it.
I have not ever seen anything that I like enough to have permanently on my body.
That explains your sex life.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Understood. It's not just you.
No.
I just don't.
Well, and that's right.
I don't feel any.
Absolutely.
You know,
no,
so I've never really pressured.
Y'all thought you were being individuals by getting tattoos. Well, guess what? You're the part of the masses.
Technically,
now.
We still are because we don't have full pieces anywhere.
That's so. Right. The whole sleeves up the neck and everything. Like,
my son had a girlfriend that she. Beautiful tattoos.
Yeah.
And each of them had its own symbolism, but she had some lot of work on her thigh and on her arm. I mean, great, beautiful support pieces, but whew,
I mean, I appreciate a good tattoo.
Oh, sure.
You know, there's some wonderful artwork out there that's just amazing, but I'm like, it's not my thing.
The problem I have with tattoos is that when you get another one, it awakens something.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, just a few weeks later, you want more.
Right.
It's an addiction.
It very much is. And I realized quickly that I'm addicted, which and is so why I've got to be careful.
So you see how people can get full sleeves.
I do.
I'm fixing to get.
Fitting.
Fixing. I'm fixing.
I'm fixing to get another one. And I showed you it the other day.
Yeah, you did. You did.
And I actually made an appointment. I didn't tell her till just now.
Surprise.
for Monday.
Monday.
And it just a quote is really what I'm going for.
Mm-hmm.
And I already know it's not going to be cheap. But I'm with you. I know as soon as I get this, once I get it done, because it's going to be a good size one, I'm probably going to be itching for some more. Because that's what happened to me. You know,
as I started exactly going. What happened to me.
Every year I was getting another one, you know. No, that's not true. I didn't do it that often, but I know a few things that's going to hinder me once I get this tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
I know there's things I can't do anymore for a few years.
Sure.
So, like, donate plasma or whatever.
You can't donate after tattoos?
No, for 2 years.
Why?
Because they're worried about Hep C or hepatitis.
Because you've introduced foreign substances into your body.
Okay, so diabetics get tattoos. And give blood?
I think it's an antiquated rule
that
it doesn't really make sense because if you go to most of these tattoo parlors, they're even cleaner than some doctor's offices I've been in.
Whoa.
You know,
yeah, what if you don't tell them?
Policies.
The thing is when you go to check in and they mark down all your tattoos.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, where you have them and what they are. And then every
somewhere not on your arms.
6 months to a year, they do a checkup on you. And yeah. You got to show them your tattoos again. And
I get one on my butt cheek. Are we going there?
Yeah.
I wouldn't even mention those.
No.
Ones that are in those areas that they can't see.
Right. That makes sense. That's just an odd. You know, I never understood. I did as far as, you know, heroin use was a big deal.
It started during the
AIDS yeah.
pandemic. They, you know, the epidemic, whatever you want to call it, that they, you know, they were being careful.
Sure.
And back then there was looser rules for tattoo shops, but now tattoo shops are so regulated and, you know, they have to brand new equipment every time, have to, everything's got to be sterile.
I'm with you. I'm just was thinking in my head, I've been to a lot of different parlors and I've only ever seen one that kind of made me go, eh.
Right.
But the rest of them are super, I mean, cleaner than some doctor's offices for sure. So I guess it's an oddity. I don't know. It's probably just antiquated.
You go to a doctor's office and you sit up on that little table, the exam table, and they have the paper on there.
Yeah, that paper stops a whole lot.
Yeah, I was just going to say, do you think that paper's going to help you? I mean,
I don't understand the point of the paper. If you just had a spray bottle of 99.9 bacteria killer
Lysol,
stuff,
yeah.
wipe it down real quick, save you a ton of money on paper.
It would.
I don't know.
It does the same thing.
I fell into this trap. I was watching. I do my little painting stuff, and every now and then I'll kind of peek to see if there's a new something or another. And I saw this where they make paper, like full-blown sheets of paper that, you know, obviously don't. They're thicker than regular paper. Mm-hmm. And I guess they use them. They make decorative stuff out of them, and people will have somebody put, like, calligraphy poem on it. But apparently these sheets of paper that you can make for dirt cheap sell for $10-$15+ a sheet.
Get out.
That's what I said. I was like, what? I'm watching them make this and thinking, yeah, it's going to take a few bucks to invest in, but one sheet of paper? $10?
Yep.
Nope.
Yep.
Yeah.
Why?
I'm not as cheap as you, but there's no way I'd spend $10 for a sheet of paper.
Why is it so expensive?
Because it's handmade.
I've whipped up a batch of stuff before, and I don't know if I'd sell it for $10.
That's my thing, too, is I have handmade shops, and I have a hard time putting prices on things because I'm like, I wouldn't pay that much for what I just made.
I sold a painting. Well, I didn't
and
to sell it.
Give a discount, you have to make mass quantities.
Right, no so. Doubt. I had done a painting for a charity auction, and my investment was about $30. Not going to lie, I bought this big-ass canvas, 75% off. The paints, you know, the time it took, whatever.
You can go to a paint store if you're talking about painting and stuff, because I'm into that pendulum painting. I don't know if you've seen that. But anyway, you can go to a hardware store, paint store, whatever, and get their whatever they're called.
Mismatched.
Yeah, that. and you can buy those for pretty cheap.
Yeah.
And that's what we've done in the past.
Yeah, I on the high end, I was out $30. I figured it was a good size painting. I figured, you know, somebody might get it. $30-$50 tops.
If I get my $30 back, I'm good.
Well, I didn't. Right. I was donating it because it was for charity. And the moment I put it into their possession, I immediately regretted it because I liked the painting.
Yeah.
Which is an oddity because I don't like anything that I do. And I decided that night by the time I got home that I was going to bid on my own painting. I figured if I got it for $25 or $30, on the high end $50, you know, I'm into it now for $80, and I feel, you know, I got to keep it and whatever.
You're willing to pay that?
I was, and obviously I was willing to pay more because it went up to $135, and I was questioning whether or not I was going to do it. As you can see, it's on the wall.
Yeah,
I did it.
It is a great painting.
I was shocked at the number of bids and how high it went. So now I'm into this for, what, $165? I like it, you know.
Yeah.
My wife laughed because she told me, well, if you like it, then don't put that one up. Put the other one up because I sent two of them. But there it is. Weird as hell for me. I think I have a straight one that'll be straight on that I can send you to. Yeah, you can put that on the socials and everybody can laugh at my $165 oops.
Well, we did, you know, like in Vegas, you can go and get the spray paint art.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, we were horsing around just for fun. We did a couple spray paint arts. And I think Karen said that you sold one of those at the flea market.
I took some of Mary's old paintings from her studio, mm-hmm. and I took some of those. Like, we were using old canvases. You know, when you're doing four classes a week, you tend to build up a lot of canvases. So I took some of hers, and you know, everybody loves her Aspen Grove, and that class she taught ad nauseum, and has, you know, we can make a whole forest of her aspen groves. And so I took some of the extras and stuff out to the flea market, and I took a couple of, you know, I don't really want to try and sell 10 aspen grove canvases, because that's just not going to happen. And we went and farted around and did some spray paint art on them. And I think I took three out there, and that was the only thing I sold.
Really?
Was those.
That's crazy.
With the spray paint art on it.
Yeah, because we did the, really, you know, the moon and the planet. Yeah, I did space. That's all we did. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could do those things. I always envied those spray paint people.
I didn't do them well.
First off, they're high all the time.
They have to be, man.
And secondly, how they can take a blob and see something completely different than a blob, and it's almost, I don't think I've ever seen a bad one.
Right. No.
I'm sure they exist, but most of those people already have a talent for art as it is. Like, I can't put depth on a box if I drew a square on a piece of paper. I'm just an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, I saw this this autistic kid draw two circles and an odd diamond shape, and suddenly he had an ostrich face that, out of those three things that he drew on the paper, all he did with the rest of it was crayon work.
Uh-huh.
And it,
yeah,
freaking like, beautiful. And I was like, all I saw was two circles and a weird diamond that you screwed up the sides on. And later it turned out to be the ostrich's mouth. And
wow,
all of that with Crayola and an autistic mind.
Yeah. I'm not that good.
No.
That's why we do the paintings that we do.
Right. I'm lucky if I can draw a conclusion half the time. Right? And most of the time I draw those poorly as well.
Yeah. So I've gotten into that pendulum painting. I haven't done it yet. I really want to. I was watching this guy online, and he did the pendulum painting on doors, like interior doors. And they came out so badass.
Really?
It was like, man, I want those on the interior of our tug pound.
I think it was when we were in Vegas last time, we went to this art gallery in one of the hotels. It's not like we took a trip to an art gallery. So we were walking through and saw this gallery, and they had some great stuff up. And then it got to paintings similar to the style that I do. And I'm looking at them, and they're really different. Like, you can't mess these up too much, as long as you don't put too much effort into it. If you put too much effort into it, you can screw it
up. If you overthink it, like, oh, no, this needs to be a bigger swoop over here, exactly, you're going to screw it all up.
There was a whole display, and I was like, wow, these are, you know, pretty cool. Turns out they were done by an 11-year-old kid who has made a couple $100,000.
Oof.
And I was like, I can fucking do this.
Right?
Apparently he's related to Hunter Biden, because I can't sell my shit for that much. But this kid's making hundreds of thousands of dollars doing the same style of painting. It's just bizarre. But I think it goes to show the depth of what people are able to do and how they're able to leverage that to make something that they can, you know, potentially make a living from. Hunter Biden, I've seen some of his stuff. I don't know that I'd pay $400,000 for it, but my dad's not the president either.
So. There's that.
Yeah, you don't have that last name.
No, thank God.
It's all about the name.
Well, and it is about perspective, and it's about the, you know, what is, look, I've bought things before that were just amazing, and then after a couple of years, I was like, wow.
Why did I do that?
What the fuck was I doing?
Yeah, yeah, you know, been there.
Yeah.
How many gummies had you taken that day?
You know, I keep threatening that I'm going to start getting high. The truth be told, I'm afraid.
I've dipped my toes into it since I've retired, right, and I don't have to do the drug testing anymore. And I used to get paranoid when I got stoned.
Right.
And now I find myself just falling asleep. It just knocks me the fuck out. I know there's a difference in the...
Yeah, if I remember correctly, there's strains. Two different kinds, it may be strains. It's
indica and sativa.
Sativa and yeah. Indica. And if I remember it correctly, that if you want to relax and chill out, you do the indica. And they say if you remember, like, in the couch or something like that. And then sativa is supposed to be more of a, I don't know, uplifting. I don't
something
know.
Something else.
So I've been doing tinctures, you know, and it's mainly for the pain and some of the joint issues that I have. So I take it, and I don't do it every day.
Right.
But when I do it, yeah, I guarantee you within 35 to 45 minutes, I'm snoring.
Zoning.
I guarantee you he's snoring within 20 minutes.
So when the wife was doing her heavy chemo.
That's what I was going to ask.
She, a friend of ours, it came up to stay with her a couple of weekends after her treatments. And she brought so much different stuff. There's one that's I don't know. It's mud. This thing is in a tiny vial with a small, it's not a needle. It's just a blunt ended metal piece coming out of the vial. And the directions were pretty vague.
That's my only problem.
If you're used to getting high, use an amount about the size of a grain of rice.
Right.
If you've not used it, you'll want to use a tiny, tiny speck of it. And then they tell you to mix it with something. Don't take it. Well, I got a tiny bit on my finger. It wasn't even enough of anything. And I tasted it. Holy God.
Horrible.
Oh, it was terrible.
I'm sure it was.
And I couldn't get that taste out of my mouth for like a couple of hours.
Right.
Now, the wife only... did it, I think she did it twice. She hated it both times because
it tastes so bad.
Well, and she said, you know, it did help her with the discomforts, and she definitely helped her with the appetite. But she was like, nope. So then she brought gummies, different kinds. Some were CBD related, and then some were THC heavy on one side or the other. And then she also brought the bud, but the wife's not going to smoke it.
Yeah. That's where I'm at. I don't really...
Past those days, right?
Yeah. I don't want to roll any joints. I don't...
That's too much work.
I don't want to bong. Yeah, I don't want to bong.
However, I did see something really cool. They had one of them floor fans that's like blue, and it's a round body, and then it blows out the bottom, kind of like a floor dryer.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So they took and built, with a little bit of sheet metal, a pipe coming out of the intake for this fan, and then they put a coffee can attached to that and then screened it and just filled the bowl, if you will. Held a torch, turned the fan on, and within about 10 seconds, you couldn't see anything.
I can imagine.
Just smoke.
And it's like your fog machine.
Exactly. And once the smoke dissipated, those people that were wildly whooping and hollering were just stoked. Mellow.
Yeah.
Hey, there's one way to quell a riot, I guess.
Instead of tear gas.
I think the cops are missing a real opportunity.
Right?
That's funny.
Now they're just going to sit down and you drag them off. You're fine.
Fuck it.
No, just go
them,
home.
Leave them where they're at. Hand out chips at the exit.
Charge them for that.
And they'll leave on their own. You just have a snack bar on the exit door, and the only way you can buy it is if you're on the other side.
Yep, it's on the outside, and there's no reentry.
So if you're in the city center and you see a bunch of food trucks around each other,
there's probably weed around there.
Yeah, expect the cops come by with their fogger.
Heck yeah.
You know how they have mosquito foggers going around the neighborhood?
Oh yeah.
That's a neighborhood I want to live in.
I have quite a few friends that are law enforcement, and we talk about it quite a bit. Alcohol is legal.
Right.
In all 50 states.
Yes.
And it's more dangerous than weed.
And it creates so much headache because alcohol tends to bring out the asshole.
Yes.
The truth tellers and the amorous.
Yes.
And sometimes they're all one person.
And that's bad.
Others, Tommy?
No, not. I don't have the amorous part anymore.
Well, okay. Maybe not anymore, but you.
Used to, yeah. I think it's just being married, you kind of get used to hearing no, so you just cut it out.
It doesn't even affect us anymore. Yeah, no, I'm with you. Yep. A couple weeks ago. Not what?
This is the downside to having your wife with you.
Oh, it's just true.
I don't tell you no all the time, just most of the time.
If I've been drinking?
Oh, you get the absolutely.
Absolutely not going to happen, sir. That's what she tells me every time I've been drinking, so I don't even think about it anymore.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair. It's funny, though, because you drive
kind of like the thing you were playing at the beginning about the, you know.
Oh, I thought you meant the I'm going to come.
No. No. The other thing. There's two.
We definitely have got to get Stream Decks. Only we have our own little platforms.
And I can hit a button.
You can hit your button. Yeah. But alcohol, it's funny because alcohol bring out the stupidity in us.
Yeah.
Sometimes. People drive drunk and they're impaired beyond belief. They're speeding. They're running lights. All of this. Weed.
That still can happen.
Not speeding.
No, not speeding. You're right. But running red lights.
Too slow,
when it's 45 mile an hour and that dude's doing 15, there's a good chance.
Yeah.
Which is just as dangerous.
I never been to an accident scene where a dude was high on weed.
Okay.
I'm not saying you should drive while you smoke. I'm not saying that because it is still dangerous. You're correct. But I've never seen.
If I'm going the speed limit and I don't notice that you're doing 15, I'm going to rear end your ass.
If you're doing the speed limit and don't notice that stopped car, there's some other problems.
Yeah.
I did see one where a trucker just absolutely assholed a car that had stopped in the middle of an interstate traffic. Yeah. Like, oh, wow.
I think we just heard about that one, didn't we?
I saw the video and it was.
There's multiple videos of people doing this. And I don't know why people think that it's a good idea to stop in the middle of a freeway. When everybody's doing 55, 65, 75, 90, depending on where you're at.
And I love the video, no matter what social media platform you're on, those videos, it always says, who was at fault?
Yeah.
Are you asking because you're stupid?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, and I'm going to speak on the side of a truck driver. Unfortunately, you have those billboards, you have the TV commercials of the lawyers saying, hey, if you're in an accident with a big rig, we can get you millions of dollars. Well, the reason why they're doing that is because most trucking companies are self-insured and they will pay you off to shut you up.
Yeah, just to keep away from going to court.
Right. So you can easily get a couple million dollars out of them. I'm not saying to do it.
You have to survive the accident.
That's the thing.
That's helpful. That's helpful.
Well, you stop in the middle of the interstate. You have to remember everybody's going 55 or more.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a truck a quarter of a mile to come to a complete stop. That's fully on the brakes.
Right. And that's a good day.
Yeah. Right. That's a clear.
Yeah.
And that's him jackknifing and taking out everybody else that's next to him.
Remember that song back in the 80s, Jack Knight in Dakota House? I don't know why that just came.
I don't either.
Well, because she said jackknife.
Well.
Just one of those.
Apparently that's racist now, too. I don't know why.
Which part?
Jackknife.
Jackknife?
Yeah. I don't know why. What? Somebody told me that at work.
Have you ever met a black man named Jack?
No.
I'm trying to think. I don't think I have either.
Maybe. I don't remember.
Why would jackknife?
I don't know. Somebody was telling me that at work last night.
Marriage is, you know, we talked about this last week. Marriage is racist. Rooted in the patriarchy.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't even know what that means. The patriarchy. Hey, the princess. Have you heard of this one?
Yeah,
the Princess of Wales. I don't know how I feel about it. So she disappears for about 2.5 months.
Yeah.
They try to snowball everybody, and they release a family photo that everybody figured out
was AI.
Then they release a video, just the other day, of the princess talking about her diagnosis. And many are saying that the video was AI.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen several accounts on X who have run that video through some AI detector. Excuse me. And there was anywhere from a 75 to like a 91% chance that this was an AI generated video. And I don't know if I believe it.
Why would they want to do that?
Thank you.
Right.
Why would the royal family feel the need to lie or make shit up?
Well, I've seen some of the conspiracies that she's passed.
Oh, that's which just makes, already not here and there.
Which makes no sense because all you're going to do is just drag it out.
Right.
So I don't believe that.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
The one thing that I had an odd time with is that we don't know what type of cancer it was. So, because a lot of people were
all
saying,
we know is it's an abdominal area.
Yeah. A lot of people saying, well, if she's dealing with cancer, she would, you know, her hair would be falling out. Well, that's not necessarily true if a particular type of chemotherapy.
Right? And that hair did not necessarily look like that was her own hair.
Or radiation. Would that, you know, the fact that they had surgery. What they left more questions than they did answers by releasing this video, but they were getting a ton of pressure because they'd released two fake pictures. Right. So they had to come up with something. I felt like I didn't like the way that it happened. All they had to do was release a statement that was very generic, that she's having a health issue, and when she's better, she can address that at that time. Leave it be. I mean, and even let her make the statement.
I know that royal family is very closeted in what they tell, in the information they give out. I know that they've always been that way.
That's part of the mystique of the...
Yeah, but at this point, when you got younger people that are coming up for the crown, because I don't think Charles is going to be king for much longer.
No.
I really don't. I think he's going to, you know, step down and let his son take over. And I think that's what they're prepping us for.
Yeah.
I really do. Although I think, here's the thing. Here's the honest to God truth. I don't fucking care.
Weird.
I really don't care. And I'm tired of it being all over my social media and in my news. I don't care. It doesn't affect us. Well, I mean, I don't wish her harm. Sure. I don't wish her ill will. But what does it affect the United States? It's a curious piece of information, but at the same time, it does not need to be headline news. And let's face it, that monarch doesn't really run that country.
No, it's a figurehead position, and the country's here for it.
Right.
That would be like us having a King Richard.
We already do.
Well, he's more of just a Richard.
Yeah.
But
Cranium.
And then having a prime minister that I don't even understand how that shit works.
Yeah, the prime minister runs the country.
He runs, or she runs the country, but then at any given time, Parliament could just kick him out.
Yep.
And the people vote for their MPs, whatever the fuck that is. And then those MPs, or whatever they're called, they elect the prime minister. Well, that's not very representative now, is it?
No.
But then you still got the queen mother. Oh, now it's the king.
King.
Daddy? I don't know what you call him.
King Daddy.
Well, I'm sure you're not going to call him King Puppy.
Puppy.
But he's on the money now, which we all know is only going to last a short time.
Yeah.
And then you're going to put, this guy? William. Bill. I'm friends with Bill.
Yeah, well, I think he'd be, because he's young enough.
Yeah.
He would be serving as king for a long time. Then it goes from him to his kids.
Like, and that's the part I don't understand. Like, the king, queen, whatever they are, they're just a figurehead.
Right.
But so much of the tax dollars of the British
to support them in their lifestyle.
Empire goes to pay for this bullshit position. Mm-hmm. That they don't have any real say, however.
They have influence.
They have tons of influence.
Yeah.
But just because you were born into this bloodline, suddenly you're entitled?
Oh.
Sign me out. I don't want any
That's
part
why we
of that.
Had a Revolutionary War.
Right.
Is to get away from the shit like that. That's why I insensitive, whatever. Don't care. I don't care about the monarchy. We fought hard to get away from it.
And now all we do is stick our nose in it. Listen, the Princess Diana thing takes up more American ideology people chasing after it. And the people in Britain are like, it's over, bro.
And I never understood the fascination with Princess Diana. It was cool.
I watched
the wedding.
Yeah.
I believe my brother was being born in the hospital. I watched it from the hospital while my mom was in labor. I watched the wedding. I'm like, okay, that's cool. But
Was it 97 when she passed?
I thought it was. I'm not sure. I think it was around there somewhere.
I thought so.
Hang on.
Come on, Jamie.
I'm working out.
She wasn't ready for you then.
No. She wasn't ready. Here, I have some hold music.
It was 97.
Shh. Damn you. I'm still going to play the hold music just because I found that song.
Sorry.
Play the song from last week that you couldn't remember?
No. The one that I... Jackknife?
No.
You don't remember this song?
I do.
I don't know that.
I never knew who it was that sang it.
That was a bouncer in a club.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They play this all the fucking time.
Wasn't it that... What was the name of that club?
Revolution?
Yes. Monifa. She is ugly as hell.
You say so.
I just felt like playing that.
The only reason they played it in the club is because the bass.
Oh,
the,
yeah.
The boom, boom.
Well, and the catchy
the sad part
lyrics.
Is when you work in a club like that, they all the songs
sound
the same.
Yeah, you can set your system up just wise. This would have been a great one for last week, and I didn't find it until afterwards.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Jordan. I'm Lee.
And we are the Axis of Awesome.
And I'm Benny.
Yeah, we've been a comedy rock band for close to 40 years now.
These guys aren't even
40. And all that time, we've never had a hit.
Yeah, but you guys know why.
Why?
Because we never wrote a four-chord
totally
song.
Totally tells the truth on music.
What's a four-chord song, Benny?
Well, Fiona, all the greatest hits from the past 40 years just use four chords. Same four chords for every song. It's dead simple to write a pop hit.
Just four?
Yeah, these four. Here. One, two, three, four chords.
Sorry, let me get this straight, Chicken Little. what you're trying to say is you can take those four chords, repeat them, and pump out every pop song ever. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah, fuck off.
Chicken little.
Just listen. Do you recognize this?
Yeah, that is Don't Stop Believing by Journey.
It's a great song.
Very original.
There's a few more
song.
That fit. Check it out.
My life is brilliant. My love is pure.
This ruined music for me.
Well, that's just two songs that are similar.
Come on, you knew way back when that a lot of them sounded the same.
I did, but when you put it like this,
yeah,
it takes it away. And
like I said before, when you were playing this for me, is there's other tracks and other instruments that are changed up in the songs.
But
yes, it's the same four chords.
Country music does it. Pop music does
rock.
It. Rock music. Well, that's where most of your anthems are from the 80s from your hair bands.
Yeah.
All that, them. And it's the general.
All you do is change the tempo a little bit and it's a different song.
Well, in country music, they say it's four chords and the truth. It just happens those four chords are G, C, A, and D, which is pretty close to what those ones are. Weird. And it's all in about. How you mash words to mix with them and how you use, like you said, the other instruments and tracks to complement it.
Yeah.
But that video is really funny.
It is.
We should have had it last week when we did the music version, but of course I didn't think of it then.
Dang it.
Always a day late,
I've seen
bottle short.
Them before, those guys, and they've done it different ways,
right.
The same skit. And it's just hilarious. Just,
oh,
if you get a chance, you need to check them out.
The Axis of Evil four chords. Just look that up on YouTube. Yeah, they actually even have a professional video
right.
For this skit.
Yeah,
we used to have a buddy, Matt, played the keyboard or piano, and he would always impress you because you look. We hung out with the guy. We knew him.
Yeah,
and every time he touched a piano, we were always like, damn.
Right.
Because he just wasn't the type that you're like, oh.
Whose house? It was Justin's house, I believe, that they had a stand-up piano. And we went over there for a get-together.
It was.
And this guy, Matt, could not walk past a piano or a keyboard without playing something on it. Could not. My son, you know, those little, when he was born. My oldest son was when he was born. He had one of those...
like
play school little piano thing that actually was a xylophone
on
top.
Right.
And I remember him coming over and he started playing shit on that.
Yep. All the time.
And my wife at the time, my ex-wife, she was like, Oh my God. Like, we know. We know this because we couldn't go to Sam Goody in the nope. mall without him jamming on
three or four different keyboards. You know, and he had a talent that was just ungodly. And then it came. We used to do this thing when we were kids, and not in by any stretch encouraging this. It was foolish, but it was a lot of fun. So they don't make the click pins as much anymore.
No, because people like you.
Well, it wasn't just me. I mean, it started.
I said
that
people
way.
Like you.
I know. So they used to make these ones that were government. They're black with the silver band, and it was just a click pin that you could take apart and yes. take the ink barrel out of. Well, you could also take the push part out
yes.
and turn it around, and it created a seal that was really perfect on the bottom of it. And then you take matches. Doesn't matter if they're stick matches or if they're book matches. Book matches worked a little better. And you would take just the
sulfur
pieces off of it.
Match heads.
Okay. The match heads.
Okay.
You'd take about two or three books of those, would fill that pin cap about halfway full. And that's important. You don't want to take it over halfway full because then it becomes difficult to catch the seal.
Okay.
Then you push toilet paper to act as a wick.
Or paper towel.
Or paper towel. And then you took aluminum or more paper towel if you were feeling boisterous. Aluminum worked the best, and you would push it in and kind of compact it.
Okay.
The tissue paper that you used wasn't an actual wick, but it would smolder. And once it hit the sulfur, you have created a firework. Of sorts.
Okay. Yeah, like a pipe bomb almost. Well,
if you did it correctly, it'd make a nice little bang. You could do it in the house, and it would crack and blow cigarette ashes everywhere.
Well, it's fine.
I want to tell a quick story because we decided. Well, I showed all you guys how to do this because I will admit that I was the one that started this shit. Like, look what I can do, you know. Uh-huh. So I made this little explosive device, and it wasn't igniting. Do you remember this? Mm-hmm. And we put it in my mom's ceramic ashtray. We'd emptied the ashtray out, by the way.
Yeah, it had all those swirls in the bottom.
Yeah. So it wouldn't light, so we just laid it in there. We're like, oh fuck, that didn't work. Never mind, guys, I'm sorry. And then like, I don't know,
5 or 10 minutes at least.
5 or 10 minutes later, boom, it explodes. It destroys my mom's ashtray. And the metal pin part, the cap, was stuck in the ceiling.
Oh. Yep. You could make them.
And my mom and everybody came out of their bedrooms like, what the fuck was that?
You could make these things to vary in its
power. Yeah.
Okay.
We tended to not make them too powerful, no. But once in a while we would. You know, instead of a half a book or one full book of matches, we might do two or three.
Wow.
So fast forward to about 90, I think. I'm guessing 95-ish.
Yeah.
Right. I was in New York. And.
Yeah, because you called me from New York saying, guess what he did?
I talked with Matt, and he was explaining to me what had happened and the mess that ensued from it. So Matt was always the innovator of our group, I would say.
Yeah.
And if you did something, Matt would find ways to perfect it.
Okay.
To make it better.
Okay.
The problem with Matt was he didn't think linear in the sense of how much is too much. So Matt decided that he liked these pen explosives.
Right.
It was like a miniature firecracker. And you could make it a little bit more.
Now you'd go to prison for this, but back in the day, we would do this. We'd make them, and we'd ignite them, and we'd leave them in the bathroom at school.
Uh-huh.
And, you know,
who knew when it was going to go off?
It could go
right.
30 seconds. It could go 30 minutes,
yeah.
You know, but eventually it was going to pop. So we would light it and put it in the bathroom or wherever. We had an elevator in our high school, and it was mainly for people that were disabled, but we sometimes got the keys to it.
Yeah.
And so I remember we did it in the elevator one time, and it made it to the top floor. And as soon as the doors opened, the top floor, it exploded.
Bam.
And
you couldn't have scripted that any better.
So we got out of school for a little while because the bomb squad showed up. Right. To...
Yeah. I would imagine.
I call Matt one night, and he's like, oh, man. He starts to tell me a little bit about what had occurred over the last month since we had last talked. So what Matt had done is he had taken some 4-inch iron piping,
mm-hmm,
and threaded both sides of it and then put metal caps. So what he would, the iron caps. So this is about 4 inches long. So what he was doing was he was pre-drilling a hole and then putting a wick, an actual wick in the pre-drilled hole and then waxing around the hole to
seal it. So he's making a pipe bomb.
That's exactly how the government saw it.
Yeah.
The problem was he had made several of these and they were really cool. They'd put about a 7-inch hole in the ground.
I'll bet they would.
Matt made a couple. Matt liked to drink too. And he was doing this while he was drinking and he made several of them. And he was on one particular one and he realized after he'd packed it full and put the caps on both ends that he had forgotten to drill the hole for the fuse.
Oh boy.
So instead of doing what anybody would do, and it's unscrewing the end cap and take the stuff out, Matt
takes too much time.
He held it with his left hand in between his thumb and his middle finger, and he put the drill to the pipe and began to drill a hole.
Okay.
Problem is, metal on metal gets hot.
Very hot.
And he blew the tip of his thumb and the pretty much just past the first knuckle of his middle finger off. And the only thing Matt was worried about wasn't the feds coming and searching his house. It wasn't the bomb squad searching his house. It wasn't any of those things that you were potentially looking at prison time for. It was the fact that he wouldn't be able to play piano.
Oh.
He was in tears. I said, bro.
Oh.
They don't have pianos in prison. You should be worried about that.
You don't need to worry about piano.
Thankfully, after everybody overreacted and the media got their frenzy out of it, he took a plea bargain. I think he did a year of probation
and
whatever. But he's now without those fingers. He didn't touch a keyboard for almost 2 years after that. Thankfully, he got back to it. And now he understands where the nubs are and how to position them. But...
Yeah.
And he still plays amazing.
Oh, yeah. He's still incredible. I mean, it's been about...
it's been a few years.
It has been. My son was born in 2000, and I think the last time I hung out with Matt was probably 2002, 2003.
Was that Vegas, or was it after Vegas?
It was after Vegas. Okay. Yeah, obviously, because we did Vegas in 2003 or 4.
I want to say it was in 3.
So I think 2004, 2005 was the last time we talk occasionally on Messenger, but he's some kind of bigwig with the IT department or the school down there. And, life just gets in the way most of the time. That's the weird part about friendships.
Got to work on them.
Well,
they work themselves. And they go where they should go. And,
yeah.
You know what I mean? You look at half the group of who we were. And if we all met today for the first time, who knows? I don't know that we'd all have the same friend group.
I don't think so. I think now that we're adults, and it would be fun to get as many of those together
Absolutely.
As we could, because there's a couple we're not going to be able to get together. But I'd like to get most of them.
That'd be cool to do a show with them and just talk about our stuff. That'd be a blast. Obviously, one passed.
Yeah.
The other one is a raging liberal.
That could be fun.
Problem with him is
he had always had a mouth on him.
If he started to lose an argument, he just
typical liberal.
He just insult you.
Start calling you names.
He'd right away get to the insults, and it's just back then it was humorous. This is a guy who firmly believed early to bed, early to rise.
Okay.
Right. And so anytime we were, and that's what we did every weekend and sometimes in the middle of the week, hung out at each other's houses. It never failed. He was the first one to fall asleep. And there was a night.
Drinking or not drinking, didn't matter.
If he was drinking, though, it was more fun because he slept harder.
Yeah. Then we could really mess
with him. He fell asleep in Bear's mom's chair.
Which is a no-no.
Feet reclined back. And I'd never seen him sleep like this before, but his hands were behind his head.
Yeah.
And he was just out. And this is one of those things where Bear and I just feed off of each other.
Yes.
Neither one of us said fuck all. We didn't say a word. I looked at him. He looked at me. We both stood up and walked to the kitchen to the drawer where the duct tape was. And we ripped off a piece each, and we put them on his armpits. Now,
this is how stupid he is.
Anybody in their right mind would wake up from that and go, oh, this is going to suck.
It's going to suck.
And go get in the shower.
Right.
No, not this one. No.
He just waxed his armpits. Let's just put it that way.
Basically just grabbed hold and pulled.
Oy.
Yeah.
Oh.
And screamed.
And, yeah. And bled. Yeah. And bled. Yeah. And then left the other one on for another 25 or 30 minutes before he attempted that one.
And then he did rip that one off, but he did it a lot slower.
Did any of you suggest that he could go in the shower?
Multiple. No, we were laughing our asses off.
I think somebody did suggest
it. I think it was the...
Was it Bobby that...
It was Bobby. No, it was
Matt.
It was Matt, yeah.
Matt suggested, hey, why don't you go get in the shower and that'll... You know, it'll just give you a little
loosen it, at least.
Nope. Jamie knew everything. Okay. It was just the way it was. Right. And we loved him for it because at that age in our life, we all had our own uniqueness to us. And each of our uniqueness complemented the others. But like you said, today, I just don't know that we'd be friends with these people.
Well, some of them I think we could get along with.
Oh, absolutely.
I know we could hang out with Matt. We could. Bobby, probably. Justin, probably.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
He's
Jamie,
rich now.
Oh, yeah, I know.
He's loaded.
Him and his wife got lucky.
Yeah.
They got into the right field at the right time.
Farming.
Ranching.
Yeah, ranching.
And then, of course, on their land, they have oil rights. Yep. So, anyway, we could get along with those people. Robert's gone, unfortunately.
Yeah. He would have probably been the wild card more so than Jamie.
He would have been fun to have as our third wheel on this show.
Absolutely.
You think we're crazy at times?
The problem with Robert, you think I derail conversations.
No, no, I know you don't. Compared to him.
This guy, we would not probably be able to have the same type of podcast that we have just because he'd be all over the map. And there would be no rhyme or reason.
He's the first person I ever met that was a conspiracy theorist.
I would agree with that.
True.
I would definitely agree with that. It was all a government conspiracy. I think he was probably the reason that mental people thought the government was out to harm them. Because he would tell them that.
Yeah.
They're like, no.
He had some convincing shit.
Oh, he did. I often wondered if he was telling us this stuff just to get a rise out of us.
Most of the time, that's what it was.
Or if he believed half of the bullshit he was selling.
Well, you remember when he went through his satanic phase?
Oh, yeah.
And then we played him, I think it was Carmen.
Yeah, Carmen from, oh, wow.
Yeah, remember that? And we turned him.
pop music star Carmen. He was a Christian pop star.
Yeah. Christian musician.
And this guy all of a sudden went from Hail Satan, and he did it for a rise.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he was a believer in Christ. I was like, are you serious?
Started going to church and everything.
I mean, he was still a wild card. You never knew. But, he had a massive heart attack.
Yeah, it was unfortunate.
The Widowmaker got him, which is sad because we were just started kind of really connecting again.
Yep. Same here.
And
I had just moved up to this area. We were got into contact and we were going to meet up and hang out because at the time I was still driving. So I was gone a lot.
Right.
So I was like, well, next time you're in town, let's hang out. And I was like, okay, sure. And then I hear the news.
Yeah. His wife posted it on Facebook, which is really
on weird. His page.
Yeah. Which is really an odd place to.
Well, I reached out to her and asked her why she did it that way. And she said it was the easiest way to let the
that
people from his life, from the past. Mm. You know, find out.
Robert wasn't a small guy by any stretch. He was not a small guy.
No.
And his personality certainly matched his rotund shape.
He was a sweetheart.
Though. Had the heart of gold.
He was a sweetheart. He, I don't know how many times he bailed us out of shit, you know.
Probably every time.
Yeah. He was there, always there. We could call him at any time of the day.
He looked forward to it.
But then he'd fuck with us for a while.
Oh, he'd guilt trip us, and we bought into it half-hearted most of the time. I need money. For what? We need gas. We just stole a full tank. Why do you need more? Because we're going to go through this.
And then we end up in, you know, Grand Junction. You know?
Cripple Creek, Eagle, Aspen.
Yeah, I remember those trips. He was the best car ride guy.
We would just leave the house at 7:30, 8 o'clock at night and end up somewhere and then back home by 5.
In the morning.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then do it all again the next night. It was, that was our summers a lot.
Yeah, he had a retired cop car that was painted fire engine red.
Oh, and this thing was, it was an old one. It was a Granada.
Yeah, but it was fast as fuck.
One of the boxy cars that I think his dad got it from a police auction. And holy crap, that car.
It was fast. It looked like shit.
Oh, it was
beat up. It was like rattle can red. Yeah. Anyway, I miss that dude.
There was no kidding. That was a walk down memory lane. See what music does?
Yeah. Music brings back memories.
Is a memory maker.
We jerry rigged his stereo system in that car.
We jerry rigged his stereo system in every car.
Yeah. Do you remember the one that caught fire?
No.
The one time?
Oh, yes, yes. That was a bad wiring job.
Well, that was stupid because we hardwired it to the battery.
It worked for a while.
Yeah, for, you know, a day. And then all of a sudden there's fire coming out of the hood.
Yeah.
That's the same car he did the grenade thing.
Nobody said that we were smart.
No, I miss those times, though.
Oh, no doubt.
Because there's no way in hell we could get away with that shit nowadays.
No. No.
Especially blowing up shit in the elevator at school.
You can't even drive down Main Street 3 times in a row without
somebody pulling you over.
Questioned for loitering or something.
Yeah.
Just a wild times, man. Why the things have changed so drastically. You know, if you could go back, I'm sorry, if you could go forward 10 years and warn yourself about something. I'm sorry, go back 10 years. I knew I was doing that right. If you could go back 10 years and warn yourself about something today, what would it be?
Oh, geez.
Hmm.
Wow, that's
can't alter anything, can't change anything. You're just telling yourself, look out for this.
Well, 10 years from today would be already past 9/11.
Yep.
Right.
So that I couldn't do anything about that. But you, like you said, you couldn't alter anything. So yeah. I don't know.
Mine would be a border crisis driven by President Biden.
Okay.
Well, President who?
Yep.
You mean the 94 crime bill guy?
Yep.
You gotta be kidding me, that motherfucker.
I thought he wanted the borders closed.
And he ran against who?
Yep.
No way, not the apprentice dude. No, get it out.
It's crazy. You know, after we took a break from recording episode one, we got into the conversation about the, and I don't want to get into this too deep, but just to make people think, maybe we'll do this for next week's. 100 years from now, like I've been in this since like Tuesday or Wednesday. It's just really been in my brain about how much, and I'm guilty, super guilty about. So the topic was, 100 years from now, nobody will know who I am.
Right.
Nobody will have probably pictures except for the ones, like you said, that are online and available. But unless they were physically, absolutely 100% searching for us.
That includes family.
Yeah. Well, because what?
Because do you think your great grandkids are going to know anything about you?
I don't even know anything about my great grandparents.
Look for your story,
right?
Do they care?
We spend so much.
Every family has that one person, right, that is the historian. My little sister. She's the one that does that.
My aunt was the family tree person.
Right.
I don't know if my cousin has picked up on it. But my aunt passed away just a few months ago. And so I don't know if that's something she's carrying on. But if you and I've been, I guess I've been pondering this because it makes sense now to stop worrying about some of the bullshit that I have spent time worrying about. That in the grand scheme of things, in 5 months, is this going to make a difference?
Right.
Is this really
in a week? Is anybody going to care? You know,
in 5 hours,
right?
You know, and I guess I was doing a like a self inventory, and just thinking, okay, if I could just put all of this into perspective, because in 100 years, nobody is going to know fuck all about me,
right?
All the stuff that I
something nefarious and or special, nobody's going to even think about you twice,
and.
Because it's true with most his people from history, is we don't think about what they actually did or what they... You
know. Would Abe Lincoln be as revered of a president had he not been shot?
Yeah, that's a good question. Kennedy, right. Same thing.
Kennedy, you know? The same thing, because we didn't have a lot of time with Kennedy under his watch. Would these people be on
maybe
the tips
not,
because
can
tongues?
You remember who was president before Lincoln? Or after?
I used to know
the
this.
Vice president was after Lincoln.
Right. And who was that?
Johnson, I believe. Something Jackson.
So
Johnson.
There you go.
No. See, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So why, you know.
Who shot him? No, I'm kidding.
That we know.
Well, Jackson or Kennedy, I mean?
John Wilkes
Booth. Oh, John Wilkes
Lincoln, yes. Yeah. Kennedy, nobody knows for sure.
No, that's true.
We know who the story is.
Well, yeah. yeah, you know, and if we just change our perspective a little bit. Yes, I'm worried like hell about this government. I'm worried about our state of our country. I'm worried about, but is it
you,
really?
You matter now.
Yeah, I do matter now, I think.
In 100 years, will you matter? Probably not.
Probably not.
Most but, of, like I said before recording, most of the civilization, they just disappear. Nobody gives two shits, you know? And that's the way I've started living my life recently is I only have this little window that I'm in. I can't change the past, and I'm not going to influence the future. I mean, I can do my part, but I'm not obviously special enough to do some of these things.
Are we going to change the world? No.
Or are we?
Yeah.
You never know.
We can still try.
Look, Joe Rogan wasn't thinking one day I'll get paid $250 million to talk for a couple hours a day.
Right. And he, you know.
And now the man is the premier
podcast. Yeah.
Everybody strives to be Joe. Well, thankfully we aren't striving to be Joe, which is, we could be a cult, if you will, not in a nefarious, follow us and have sex with us way, but, just have sex with us is even stretching it too much, you know, listen once in a while. That's all.
Yeah. But, check us out.
Yeah, it's always weird to, you know, because I'm a stressor. I'm a overthinker.
And, always have been.
Yeah. And I just, is this going to matter? Because, you know, after my kids are gone, my grandkids might remember some of me.
They know you, right?
But are they going to talk about it? Is it? Nope, that's going to be it.
Right.
You know, generation and a half to two, and you're outies.
That's it.
The only reason I know my great-grandfather's name is because I share it. And I sent that on to my son. Is he going to carry it on? I don't know.
Probably not.
But here we sit.
Right.
So when I look at the state of the world around us right now, it's important at the moment.
Yeah.
It is.
And it's important for the immediate future.
It's important in the way that it is history.
Sure.
You know? Do you think back to, okay, if I lived during Prohibition, which side would I have been on?
The drinking side.
I know I'd have been on the drinking side, yeah. Or the mobster side.
And, well, because we were against the prohibition of marijuana, even when we were teenagers. We were like, this is stupid. Why is this illegal?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and we still, as adults, feel that way.
Would federally. I have owned slaves if we were...
No.
Plantation owners at the time.
I'd have hired people.
I like to think that too. But culturally, you know, we were in a different frame of mind.
And in some places, that was actually the law of the land, was to own slaves. It wasn't because they wanted to have slaves.
I strongly believe that racism isn't inherent. Racism is something that's learned and taught.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
And unfortunately, being human beings we are, would I have been a slave owner? I don't know.
Right.
But if you really think about, we hear so much about slave owners.
Yes.
They were rich. Most of them.
Okay.
By their standards.
Okay.
Okay? By their standards, okay, they were rich. We would be falling into the lower class,
right,
probably peasantry.
That would have had.
We wouldn't have had the option,
right,
to own slaves per se.
That's true.
Well,
we wouldn't have been landowners.
My grandparents and my great-grandparents, they owned that ranch out there, right, in eastern Colorado. So I think they probably would have had,
sure,
slaves.
And you'd have grown up into that.
Yeah.
Rightly or wrongly.
I mean, my grandparents, they were very conservative, but they were also liberal in the sense of, you know, they'd hire migrants to help,
sure,
them, you know, with the fields and the animals. But yeah, I don't know if they would own slaves. Them, I don't know. My grandma was.
My grandpa would have.
Yeah,
on my right, on my mom's side, he absolutely would have. I don't think my grandfather or my dad's side would have, but I'm pretty sure if you go back at least two or three generations back, maybe a few more, they were part of those Irish that were brung as slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And so, right, you know, that.
So,
that,
you know, coming from that perspective of things that are happening around us, we can recognize that, hey, this is important to history.
Right.
But is it.
But then you got to ask yourself, who's writing the history?
Yeah.
The history is never written by the unbiased.
Right.
Well, yeah. For example, going back to Lincoln for a second, is he's famous for abolishing slavery. But there's a quote out there, and I'm going to paraphrase it because I can't remember off the top of my head, where he was asked about slavery. And he's like, well, it's wrong for people to own other people. But I don't think the blacks could even come close to what the white people can do. He said something like that. And, you know, a lot of black people believe the only reason he freed slaveries or freed slaves is because that's what the party wanted him to do.
And the truth of Lincoln's, he wasn't anti-slave.
No, he wasn't.
He was, the purpose of the Civil War was more about the southern states seceding.
Yeah.
Than it was about slavery. And why were they seceding? Because the northern states were trying to get rid of slavery while the southern states still believed in it. So Lincoln's position was, no, you're not leaving the Republic. And that's what the Civil War was fought about. However, the way it's been crafted is that he freed the slaves. And by default,
well,
sure,
my point is, is the winner.
Yeah, the winner wrote history here. And, you know, like you said, he wasn't anti-slave, you know. But when you look at history being written by the victors, what we're seeing today is history being erased by the minority.
Yeah.
Because they're guilting people.
They want to erase it and they want to forget it at the same time. Because by erasing it, then you can't teach it. And then nobody's going to learn from the mistakes.
And then they'll repeat themselves.
Well, they're already starting to repeat themselves or redo it because of some of the bills that are being passed in some of these states. And I don't want to go political, but
you know,
some of these states are basically going back to segregation.
And that's surprising because it's the blacks and the people of color,
right,
who are encouraging the segregation. Yeah. And it's,
except for this one black congressman or whatever in Chicago, he came out and somebody asked him about reparations. He goes, the people that owe us reparations is the Democratic Party. Because you think about, they were against giving up their slaves.
Uh-huh.
They were against us having Black Wall Street. They were, they destroyed Black Wall Street and they did Rosewood. They, uh-huh, you know, they did all this stuff to us. So anybody that owes anybody money, it's the Democratic Party owes the black people money.
You know, when you think about this reparations thing, tying into that politician, they're screaming reparations to you and I, who never owned slaves.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the Rob Schneider?
Uh-uh.
He did a speech on, I think it was Turning Point, where he's like, you know, California's passing a law where they are going to pay reparations to people that never were slaves from people that were never slave owners.
California.
In a state that never had slaves.
Right.
That's kind of like paying for a child from a woman that you never slept with. You know, he used different language.
Right, right. It floors me. But people are being guilted into this by this loud majority. And if we let it happen, it may be a shorter time than 100
years. If it was a couple hundred years ago, I might have been okay with some kind of reparations to people that were still alive or had grandparents that were slaves. But now we're so many generations away from it. You missed your window. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're claiming white privilege or all this. I'm sorry. I know this is going to be controversial, but there's more privilege being of a minority nowadays than there is being white.
Just being illegal.
My point exactly.
All right. Are we giving reparations to Japanese who were held in concentration camps?
Are we giving
and
reparations
are still alive?
To Irish folks who were brought over as slaves?
Right.
Yeah. So much for this tug ending on a happy ending.
Sorry.
I'm going to come.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to. I'm going to come. I'm going to come. I'm going to come. I'm going to come. All right. There we go.
You know. Hey, if you like what we're doing, make sure you tell your friends about us. Share this episode and every episode on all your socials. Support what we're doing. It's for people like you that we do this. So head over to patreon.podbean.com/unrestrained. Become a member. To support our work and to get us closer and closer to video. That's where we're headed, hopefully.
Real quick, you asked about what we'd do in 10 years, if we go back
right.
10, 20 years, 10, whatever
20
it was.
Years ago, what would you warn yourself about?
About the pandemic and buy all the toilet paper you could.
No shit. Maybe move to Mexico or something. Of course, it was worldwide. It wouldn't have ever worked. Go over to RavenCrestTactical.com and take a look at their plethora of out-the-front fixed blade knives, made in America, 100% guaranteed. If you break it, they'll fix it. If you don't break it, they'll still tune it up and make it pretty for you again. RavenCrestTactical.com and Ed, on checkout, enter TUGS, T-U-G-S, TUGS, for a special extra discount
right.
for our TUG fandom.
That felt a little rough.
I was just trying to come up with because you
promo said, code TUGS.
Yeah.
TUGS.
That's it. That's all. We're halfway there, guys. We just got tomorrow and Friday. Before the weekend. Till next time, I'm Tommy.
I'm Bear.
Have a great week.
I'm gonna come.